This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, we are back. Fun times happening here on General Hospital. We're here to break it all down for you. Welcome to the GH Report, everybody. I'm Frank Moran.
And I'm Carla Renata.
We're here to break down all the craziness. As always, folks, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and the chat is up and running, Carla, which means people can talk to us while we're doing the show.
They are. Let me do roll call real quick. You know how I roll. Rue Wood, Jim Grosset, Kelly Public Colors, Zoe Johnson, who is that? Dee Dee Durr, Michael B., Jerry Jacks, Cherie R. Hey, Cherie R., Jim Grosset, Loretta Johnson, Monique Abram, Dolores Leach, and I think that is pretty much, and Marlon Wallace, I think that's pretty much everybody, and Michael B. That's pretty much everybody, and Samantha Greenridge, Andy Gowan, what's up, and Stuart Pierce. Hey, y'all.
Yeah, look at that. We get a nice view of the central hub of the Kirby Critic Industries right there. This is where all
somebody
the magic happens.
Somebody said this sound, they can't hear. Oh, they heard me. Looks like you guys changed rooms for tonight. No, I'm in the same room.
Yeah, just a different angle. Different angle.
This and Frank is in the same room, too. He just got light this time.
Yeah, threw a little light on me. That way you can see this really ridiculous quarantine beard I'm letting go. So this is just as all patchy. Not great. I can't grow those sexy GH beards.
I was saying on the Kirby Critic, we about to see people's real hair color. We about to see who got nails and who don't. Folks' eyebrows going to be looking kind of little. They're going to be having unibrows. It's about to be off and crack.
See, now, like, Chase does a great job on the show. He has got a great 5 o'clock shadow that he has. I can't do that. I can't make it work. So I'll have to address that sometime during this quarantine. But, folks.
I said they asked if we were self-isolating. Of course we're self-isolating. He in his house and I'm in my house. Where you at, Jim Grosset?
Folks, we're going to break down all the stuff that in General Hospital, the way that you like it, with an exacting, excruciating detail. But Carl, before we dive in deep, what did you think of this week overall?
You know, I had a hard time watching. I would sit down to watch it in real time and it would keep getting interrupted by updates on the coronavirus. And I don't know about people in other states, but here in Southern California, during the week, it's on 24/7 all day long. And I'm not complaining about it, but it just made it really difficult for me to watch General Hospital in real time. Having said that, the favorite part of the week for me, two favorite parts, were finally watching Jordan, you know, let it all hang out, so to speak. And to watch Sam go all the way in on Alexis, I was like, ooh, okay.
Sit. I will agree with you in terms of the media coverage for everything that's been happening in the country and, in fact, the world. I just wish started at like a top of an hour or something, because like, I'd always be like, you know, 2:50, 2:45. I'm like, oh, we're so close.
No,
just start at third and three.
But this week, it was like, it comes on here at General Hospital comes on at 2 o'clock in LA, right? It literally started like 10 minutes in. And then it never came back on. So I had to wait either until in the middle of the night if I was up to watch it, or try to catch it the next day on Hulu or after midnight on Hulu. I was like, man, y'all are messing up my streaming schedule. They messing up my streaming schedule. I love me some GH, but I'm gonna need y'all to do this when I can watch it, daggone it.
Well, let's dive into Jordan, because I feel like two characters that are annoying me this week, as usual, are Jordan and Sam, but we'll do with Jordan first. So finally, she tells Curtis, Sonny, and Jason that, yes, Sarah says TJ, yes, she's the one that let Cyrus's drug shipments go through to get into Port Charles. And the only thing she can do now, which, of course, you know, well, the one thing that frustrates me is it's like that stupid thing that you always see where a loved one is held hostage, and they just assume if they do one thing, they're always going to get that person back. And it never turns out that way. It's always like, no, no, no. I'm still holding on to him. I'm not done with you yet. I'm like, ugh, why?
Yeah, I was a little hopeful that they were going to zoom past that. I was really hopeful that if she did what he asked, that he would at least let her see him for a second, you know, at least let her see him in person, let her hug him or something. And I'm like, and then that scene with her and Harmony, where Harmony's like, you know, you're a dirty cop now, too bad, too sad. I'm like, you know, I would be throwing stones if I was you, Little Miss Harmony. Like, you in trouble. Like, you violating your parole. How you gonna be berating somebody else? But
I know.
You know what I mean? But
well, because especially if she told somebody that's like, oh, I did this because my son was being held hostage. Nobody's gonna really hold it against and say that George's a dirty cop now.
Well, you know, there's always somebody in Port Charles that got to take the opposing view. And we don't know how Mayor Laura is going to respond to that news either, because she's running. Which brings me to this point. Why is she running to Sonny every 2 seconds, hoping that Sonny going to drop off a little piece of nugget to her every month? Like, y'all friends, but you the law and he ain't. Like, really, Laura? What you doing, girl? Scenes always make me laugh, because it's just like, what are you? And then the end of the scene where she goes, where Jason walks in and she goes, don't worry, Jason. He didn't say anything. And I'm like, Jason don't care? Jason was like, it don't matter if he said something or not. I ain't saying nothing. I'm like, oh my God, they are killing me. And let's just flip back. Excuse me. Let's just flip back to Jordan and Harmony scene for a second. As they're having my doorbell is on.
Oh, look at that.
Doorbell. So as they're having this conversation about Cyrus and what he is going to do and what he isn't going to do, this was the thing that struck me very odd. So when Sam and Curtis were in the apartment, how did she know they were there? Was she like lurking across the street watching her apartment? Like, what does Harmony have a life? Is she just like stalking out Jordan all day long, waiting for her to slip up? I don't understand.
That's it. That's all her job is. Yeah, if you're, well, she's got that nice 2019 car, and she can just cruise around. She's gonna stake out in comfort. That's why she got that swanky car.
I know.
But the thing that frustrated me
out about that car too. Will was like, I don't know. Let's take a ride in your new car. I was like, oh.
So, Sonny and Jason show up, and when they confront Jordan, and Jordan says, "Yes, this is the deal," and they say, "Hey, okay, here's the plan. Let Cyrus out of prison, but you know what? You don't have to incriminate yourself. You don't have to confess that you were part of the frame-up and go to prison while Cyrus is free. Just say it was your teammates, you didn't know about it, and this all happened with you having no involvement of it, so that way you stay out even with Cyrus being free." And Jordan is like, oh, I can't dishonor their memory. But it was so frustrating to me. It's like, what do you want, Jordan? What do you want? Because it's either you have no guarantee that TJ is going to be free either way. So it's like, I don't want to do this because TJ's there, but I won't do this because TJ might not be free. Like, come on, Jordan, you just got to pick something.
I feel for her because it is her only kid, and they've been through it, her and TJ, they have been through the fire for real, for real. So I feel her pain, but at the same time, you know, if you, there was that moment where Sonny said to her, that he had spoken to Cyrus personally, and that Cyrus said he came back to Port Charles for personal reasons. And now he knows that that personal reason is Jordan. Jordan, out of the four people that were on that task force, is the only person that's left. So it's almost like Cyrus has this vendetta to get rid of her. And he seems to think that and by getting rid of her or getting rid of TJ or getting rid of anybody that has any link to her, that that's going to help him continue to have his thriving, you know, crime syndicate, whatever you call it, thriving in Port Charles. And it's not. So I'm just like, why is he holding on? Is he putting a hold on her because she's a chief of police? They can always get a new chief of police. And what's he going to do? Is he going to blackmail every chief of police that they turn over? That's just a lot of energy.
Well, I mean, certainly it's, yeah, he knows that they framed him for what he got convicted for. So, I mean, it's all personal payback for this, which I do like that this is a mob war, so to speak, that is not of Sonny's doing. That it's just like, hey, I was just my own business, my own mob business here in PH before you guys showed up. So I like that it's at least a little different than that, but it's just like Jordan's, like that she wouldn't see the smart play being that, okay, any of my other three teammates would do the same thing in my position where they would use this opportunity to pin the guilt on the three dead people so they could stay free to still keep working on trying to get Cyrus taken down for good. But she's like, the fact that Jordan's so blind to that just frustrates me.
Yeah, she's kind of getting on my nerves in that respect too. But what I really loved about her this week is that she finally explains what the situation is with her and Cyrus. Like, we finally learn what exactly happened. Because all we knew before Trina's daddy passed away or got killed is that they were all on this task force together. We never knew the details of the task force. We never knew why these four people were on the task force. We had very little details. So when she broke it down to Sonny and said, look, this is what happened. This is how it went down. This is why he's after me. It was nice to finally get some backstory on that situation coming directly from her. And that is some hearsay in another scene. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it seems by the end of it, I think she seemed to, well, I guess she's coming around to doing this, that this is the smart move, but
she's going to have to eventually, you know, eventually she's going to have to. And then that's going to mean that she got to pony up with Sonny. And I don't know how that's going to play out for her moving forward in the future with the PCPD. So this is going to be a really interesting turn of events for Jordan in terms of how her character continues to move and groove in Port Charles after this is all said and done, because she may end up staying as police commissioner and going on with business as usual, but I have a feeling that that's not what's going to happen. Do you?
No, I could see her just resigning and saying, like, even though, you know, Cyrus is back in prison, I still didn't do great things, so I need to at least, I'm not going to admit my crimes,
yeah,
but I will just resign from the office.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of people in the chat room are saying that they think that her and Cyrus have a love child. That's funny. And they're saying that they were hoping, Joe Costanza was hoping that Taggart is in a safe house. Because we never really saw them take his body out. Like, we saw a funeral on there. Like they always do on soap operas. Unless we see the body in a morgue with a sheet going over the face, we don't really know if they did or not.
No, that's very true. I mean, it would just be the fact that he got Epiphany and Lucas in on it as well. I mean, not, you could say that.
You know, Epiphany has been in on worse.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, Epiphany has been a part of a few little cover-ups here and there. She her hands are not clean.
Yeah.
Remember when she saved Sam, when the PO came to look for her and she saved them in that hallway? So
yes,
there was that. Speaking of the PO, like that segue? You know. So
look at that. What an expert.
Speaking of the PO, Miss Dolores, honey, is running around town doing things she shouldn't be doing and gets caught by Spinelli. Well, actually, Spinelli, they catch Spinelli catching them, so to speak. And then that whole situation, I was kind of disappointed in how Dolores backed down in that situation, because up until that moment, she was like the ultimate badass. She was like, I don't care what you say or what you do. You cannot ruffle my feathers. You cannot get on my nerves. And then when Alexis showed up with Sam, it was like, okay, so I can't have nobody know that I've been talking to this councilman and being involved with him. It'll ruin his career. It'll ruin my career. But this is what I'll do. I was like, I was not happy, because none of that was advantageous for Sam and Spinelli. All of it was advantageous for the PO. And I just hate the fact that she actually put herself in a position to give an ultimatum and give a deal. And then Alexis was like, shut up. Just take it and shut up. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
She's that, like, shut up. I was like, and even Sam's face was like, oh, did you just tell me to shut up?
It's the fact that you have Spinelli doing the field work, you just knew it was not going to go well. Because that's
like, he's like the Keystone Cops all by himself.
Yeah, which, I don't know. It seems now in, you know, maybe in mid-2000s, that was all right. But like now, I'm just like, oh, come on. I don't need the overly bumbling goof on these things. Right. It just kind of makes me more frustrated.
Well, it made Spinelli really, it made him look really stupid. And
yes,
a lot smarter than that. So I kind of wasn't that, I get that the writers were going for the light and fluffy comedic moment in terms of his character, because he really, him and Maxie are really the only two characters on there that could do that and make it work and it would be funny and people like hee hee ha ha ha. But at the same time, I really was disappointed in how they made him so incredibly dumb. Like, they made him dumb to a fault. And I'm just like, he's a little smarter than that. This is somebody that, he's the technology wizard of Port Charles. Like, he's smart. He's not, but then again, let me take that back. Then again, some people that are hella smart like that don't have no common sense, which is why he got caught.
True, but it's not like he hasn't been a PI for like a few minutes. He was in a business with Sam for a long time, and he's been doing this by himself. And even though it's more technology based on his side, he's still at least been out in the field several times.
But it's
with
been
Sam
a
and Jason.
But it's been a minute since he was out in the field with Sam and Jason. He was a little rusty, clearly, because he got caught.
I would think
he got caught. He a little rusty. He a little rusty around the edges. He got caught.
Like this, the moment where he does like that 360 in the plants, I was just like, come on. That was a low point.
I was so annoyed by all of that.
So you're right. So Sam gets busted when Spinelli gets busted. Sam and Alexis arrive, and they have this big hold back and forth. And like you were saying, when Alexis says, hey, just take the deal that the parole officer is offering, Sam melts down. But I'm also frustrated with Sam. Like, the fact that she, instead of just taking this 2 years, but she keeps trying to needle, Sam's whole motivation in this whole storyline is just, I feel like, just inexcusable to me.
I can empathize with that point of view, but what I will say is this. When you are somebody that is madly in love with another human being, it makes you do dumb stuff. It makes you react irrationally. It makes you do things irrationally. It makes you do and say things that under any other circumstances in your life, you would never, ever, ever do them. And I feel like this is the rationality for Sam behaving and doing what she's doing. She already lost Drew. She can't lose Jason too. And even though her and Drew were, you know, they were done and they had made their amends in terms of their relationship, I just felt like, and Sam had lost Jason once before and thought he was dead for a minute. So I just feel like she's operating from a place of desperation and fear, which is making her irrational.
I feel like Sam's character is frustrating me, because a lot of the point when she was with Drew, it was, you know, we got to make sure we're not involved in any of this business because we have family now and we got to put the family that stuff. So now she's, you know, with Jason. But now it's like, I know, I understand being crazy in love, but the fact that Sam just, she will name check the kids, but that they, that they are like like something that could be grounding her during these moments where she's like, oh, I should do something really crazy. I've got kids. I can't.
They are like, I can't. And that makes her an irresponsible mother. That's why when Alexis went off on her, it was well warranted, because she is using the kids as a footnote. It's like, you're somebody's mother. You're somebody's mother. What's going to happen if they lose you? And then Jason is running around doing Lord knows whatever he's doing with Sonny. And now these kids are like orphans because they don't really have anybody, right? So I empathize with you in regards to that sentiment about, you know, her just not being a responsible parent. But I think that's part of the fodder that they give us when we watch soap operas, that they always have to give some of the characters a personality trait or personality characteristic that is uncommon for that particular character, because unbeknownst to us that are watching, they probably have some other storyline that's waiting, lurking and waiting in the wings that's gonna justify that behavior. So that, I'm gonna go with that. I'm being very intellectual right now. I'm probably doing too much, but I'm gonna go with that.
I mean, I think what doesn't help the storyline is that we rarely see any Danny and Scout, hardly at all in this. So we don't see scenes of Sam at home with them or being out with them getting ice cream or going out for lunch over the, you know, at Kelly's or something. So we really don't get to see a lot of connection where we can see that Sam is being foolish because she's got a great thing with her kids and her kids need her. All it is like they're staying at the Quartermaine's the whole time. And they're just like being handed up. We never see it. So I just feel like it's easy for the writers to kind of ignore the kids and just have Sam be like, I'm just going to be crazy about getting myself out of this, because we don't really see any of the true repercussions of what could happen.
Speaking of the Quartermaines, let's just talk about that for a second. Let's just talk about how Brooklyn got arrested. Let's segue on over to Brooklyn. They've kind of taken a lot of storyline away from her this particular week, and they focus more on Jordan and Harmony and all of that. But they've been focusing on the Quartermaines and the whole ELQ thing, and focusing on Brooklyn becoming more and more a little brattish when she doesn't get what she wants. And I was really disappointed in the fact that when she got arrested and then, you know, Chase came and got her out, and then she had to go to the Quartermaines and tell them what she did and why she threw those documents up on Facebook, which I thought she was a smarter cookie than that. Like, I really wanted to give her credit, but that was dumb as hell. Like, Miss Thing, why are you putting stuff up on Facebook? Facebook is social media. The key word being social. Like, really? So she does that. And then Ned is like, yeah, I got to fire you, because the board is like, no, we can't be having this. And she's like, well, why can't you go to Beth me? And that's where I'm like, I'm about tired of her doing stuff, thinking that there's no consequences to anything that she does because she's a Quartermaine. Like, that's annoying. It's almost like saying, I have money. And because I have money and my family has money, I can do whatever I want and get away with it because there's no consequences to my action. Yes, Miss Thing, there are.
Yeah, it's... I don't know, in terms of her posting it on her Facebook page, I know she didn't place it on her performer page. She did it on her personal page. I would say it probably had been on that page for several hours at least before Lulu saw it. And she had been the only one that had viewed it. So I don't know what that says about Brooklyn, that even on her personal page, just one person is checking out what's going on with Brooklyn.
It was just stupid. It was just dumb. It was like, first of all, and then getting mad at the fact that Lulu saw it. Yeah, no, you should be mad at the fact that you were dumb enough to do it in the first place. Like, why did you do that in the first place? That don't make no sense.
Well, I do like that Olivia even says, oh yeah, Lulu's not without fault in this. She shouldn't have been doing that as well too.
Yeah, but Olivia ain't got Lulu's back no matter what Lulu do. So why are we surprised at that statement? We're not surprised by anything that Olivia says that is not in support of Lulu, because she can't stand Lulu for obvious reasons regarding Dante. But then Brooklyn leaves after her father, like Ned is like, nope, sorry, I can't. and she leaves, and she's like, I'm gonna sell these ELQ shares to get back at her family for firing her for something that she did. Oh, I wanted to reach through the television screen and choke the hell out of her. I was so mad. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, that's gonna be better.
You know that the show was not investing long term in Brooklyn being the ELQ receptionist or Ned's assistant, because they didn't build a really cool set for that. They just built this little ratty ass hallway.
And we're back. That's right. You love every opportunity to talk about that set. That set really bothered you, didn't it?
That set was terrible. That set was absolutely terrible. And so if they're not going to invest the time, if they had built like a really cool, swanky area for her to be in, I would have bought that. All right. They're really clearly invested. We got a cool little set design for this. But no. You just threw this little broke down little hallway with an elevator in it. Oh, that was terrible.
Stop it. So yeah, that moment was like a little like, I don't know. But what I'm also really loving at General Hospital is Britt, honey. And then I love that, who was it? There were two things that somebody said about her. When Ava said the bridge is back, I was like, did Ava say that? Yeah. No. I think that was Anna that said that. When Anna said the bridge is back, I was like, did she just say that? Britt said to Elizabeth, little Miss Nurse Perfect. I'm like, I was living for that, living for all of those moments. I loved it. I love how she has come back and and she's practically interacted with every single solitary person in Port Charles. And I love how they have not tried to sugarcoat her or soften her up. They kept her that same snarky, attitudinal person that we love. And when she walked up to Nicholas, all, you know, sunshine, rainbows, and lollipops, and then slapped the hell out of him. I'm like, yes. I loved every single solitary moment of it. But what I don't love is when, this is the thing that's killing me, and I don't know if you're noticing this as well. Why are all these people so invested in having these conversations with Spencer? Like, when did Spencer become like this person that everybody in Port Charles is trying to protect and have his back? When did that happen?
I mean, it makes sense for Britt. It makes sense for Laura. Ava.
But what about Ava?
Ava's invested in it. I mean, their relationship's a little rocky because she kind of betrayed Spencer and, you know, took back the witness statement about Nicholas's death at the time. So they're a little bit on the outs, but she does have a soft spot for Spencer. And does at least seem to have regret about her actions.
Well, I was. But then I loved how they were all so salty when she came back in and they found out that she had been reinstated at General Hospital. And Elizabeth was like, you did this with children and you did that and you did that. And she just went in. And then finally, she was like, yeah, and the board approved it, so get over yourself. She's like a duck. She just lets the water slide off and keeps it moving. I love it.
Well, I'm curious to see, because she does run into Neil and says, hey, you look familiar. And Neil's like, oh, I just must have one of those faces. So I know there's speculation online about what the deal is. A lot of people are suspecting that Britt was the one that saw Neil and Alexis getting the freak on at the hotel last week. So what Britt's agenda would be with that information? Yeah, I gotta get your freak on. I don't know what Britt's agenda would be with that information, but
well,
I guess we'll see.
She'll use it against Alexis at some point. I don't think she'll use it against Neil. She doesn't have any type of relationship with him yet, but she has had interaction at some point with Alexis in the past, and I think she'll probably use it against her.
One other thing there, too, is that, as you mentioned, Nicholas gets slapped. I just wanted to say real quickly, I don't know if I've noticed a character that's come back from, returned from the dead, so to speak, that has gotten slapped so much, so frequently, than Nicholas. I mean, that's why, like,
He deserved it, though.
Like, anytime he catches up with somebody that, you know, that thought he was dead, it's just usually a slap.
He deserves it, though. And then him, I think that they're starting to show signs of the bitterness softening between him and Ava. So I think it's just a matter of time before they knock in boobs. I'm just saying.
You know, if I were Nicholas, though, I would think I would, anytime I saw, it was catching up with somebody that thought I was dead, I would say, I would always preface with, please don't slap me. Just like, all right, I know you're mad. Please don't slap me. I've been slapped enough.
But think about that actor. Think about that actor in his face. It must be, because, you know, sometimes when people slap you, they don't mean to slap you hard, but sometimes they knock the hell out of you. They're like, bam! Okay.
To get back to what you're saying about Ava and Nicholas, I am curious to see how long that they're going to keep them married, or at least kind of draw this out, because they're trying to set up like, oh, who can make the other person cheat first?
I think they're easily gonna end up working it out with each other at some point, because it feels like it's heading in that direction. And then this, you know, I'm always paying attention to the dialogue. So when Ava said this, I was like, it was just so unorganic and it was so white. When she said, for someone with such an angelic face, she certainly can throw down. And I was like, they need to not ever, ever have Ava try to, like, if Nina said that, I could see it. If Maxie said that, I could see it. But Ava, y'all don't never need to have her say that kind of stuff ever again. Because it was just like, it was like that dog head to the side moment. Like, did she just say that? Okay.
Well, that's not the only thing Ava was up to this week. She also had a scene with Trina, who skipped school to go hang out with Ava at the gallery.
Yes. And then
Portia shows up. Yes.
Ooh. Portia was having none of it. She was having none of it. She was like, why are you here? What are you doing? And, like, I can understand Trina's point of view. She is in a place where she's never had to grieve for a parent. This is a new normal for her. So she's trying to awkwardly work her way through that. And unfortunately, it's not going as well as her mother would like, because, you know, there's that. And then I think at some point, didn't Portia have a conversation with Carly about Ava?
Yes.
Yeah. So that was interesting. I'm interested to see how that little relationship is going to pan out. Speaking of Carly.
Because I thought Carly was right with Portia, where it's like, you can't, she was right, where she said you can't forbid Trina from seeing Ava, because that's only going to make her want to see her more.
Yeah.
So you just got to keep an eye on her and just play it cool. So I did like that Carly was sensible about that.
Yeah. I mean, Carly has been showing signs of civility as of late. You know, she's been showing signs of civility every once in a while here and there.
But I know you're ready to transition to like her and Nell. And is she showing civility towards Nell?
Of course, because she is, but she isn't, because she teamed up with Nina to take her down. So I kind of love the fact that Nina and Carly are teaming up. I cannot wait for the shenanigans with those scenes. It's going to be yummy.
But at least I like that Nina at least, well, that whole scene was so weird, where after Nina says, okay, Nell, I'll hire you, she leaves, Carly's in there and kind of break down to Nell about all this. And as she's explaining it to Nina, mm-hmm. all Nina's doing is just kind of shaking her head like, that head nodding was driving me crazy. Like, stop nodding your head, please. Stop nodding your head. So,
but I love that. And because Carly was like, you can't hire her because of this. And Nina's like, yep, I know about that. Yep, I know about that. I'm like, oh, she about to say something that Carly don't expect. I'm like, okay, I'm down for all of that. And before we go, though, I really want to get into two things that happened that are real short. The first one, when Anna and Finn decided that they were going to plan their wedding, and Violet was like, I don't want another mommy. I was like, oops.
Yeah.
I thought Anna was in. You know, I thought Violet was like, okay, Anna, move back in. My daddy loves you. And then when they were like, yeah, we're going to get married. We want you to be part of the wedding. She was like, I don't want another mommy. I'm like, I just go. That was so awkward. I was like, ouch. And then I wanted to talk about Cam going into therapy. And them keep showing that awkward-ass kiss between him and Trina. Stop showing that kiss, y'all. It's so awkward.
That is awkward. What I did like, though, is that as much as this society is trying to destigmatize mental health, I feel like the best way to do that is to see on TV shows or whatnot that people having positive experiences doing that. Because otherwise, if you go by the old cliche, it's like, oh, no, I'm never going to therapy. Forget that. Therapy's for suckers.
Yeah.
The only way we can make sure that people feel like comfortable doing it themselves is seeing people that are watching on films or TV having good experiences going to it themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I was down for all of that. And that's a really good point. That especially young people going through therapy, because they show adults going through therapy on television all the time, especially on General Hospital. They're always showing the adults sitting in therapy, but to show a teenager that is smart enough to go to therapy because he's having post-traumatic symptoms that aren't allowing him to move forward was really powerful, I thought.
And I felt like it treats reality of the situation. Like in real life, any young person that had gone through what Cam had gone through in such a short period of time would definitely have some stuff that he needs to get off his chest.
Oh, yeah.
He might not feel comfortable talking with anybody else by.
Right. Between watching his stepfather, you know, turn into another person and that whole drama, and then you get kidnapped with your best friend and that whole drama. That's a lot, like you said, in a short period of time for a kid to go through. So it was good to show that Elizabeth, against her better judgment, let him go, because she has that whole conversation where she talks about how she was apprehensive to get help when she was raped. So this is a completely different situation for her, where she's putting her needs to the side for the sake of her kid getting what he needs.
True, and it's like, and also as well, that you can't make him go. I mean, you've got to want him to be able want to go. Otherwise, it's not going to work either.
Okay, let me see what they're saying in the chat room real quick. Should we contact the actors that play Cam and Trina and tell them to practice their kissing? Michael B, you're not right. That they little kids. Stop picking on them.
Do you think Cam brings that up in therapy? Where he talks about, like, I had a really awkward kiss.
I don't think he'll bring up how awful it is, but he'll probably bring up the fact that he did it and that he really had feelings for Joss. But I feel like, remember a while ago, Trina had alluded that she had feelings for Cam. So I feel like this is complicating her feelings because she knows that he doesn't care for her, that he's hung up on Joss. And I'm feeling like it's going to, at some point, compromise Joss and Trina's relationship, because even though Trina is there for Joss and that's her girl, she got to feel some kind of way about everybody that she like is trying to get with Joss. I'm like, really? Like,
yeah, no, that's true.
Like, I'm top sirloin over here. Why you want to go with the ground chuck? I'm just saying.
I have no frame of reference on time for this, Carl. What time are we at right now?
We're at 6:55.
Oh my gosh, holy cow. Carl, I mean, we probably should wrap this up because, I mean, it's been a fun time breaking this down for you, but I know people have got many other things they want to do on their Sunday night. So,
especially those other countries and on the East Coast and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of the GH Report. Thank you so much for joining us. We're getting this thing, the kinks worked out every week. We're going to get a full 360 degree view of Carla's work office by the time this thing is done. We're back in the studio. It's going to be really cool. But thank you for joining us. As always, like us on Facebook, give us 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thank you, everybody, for hopping in the chat. Michael B, keep those suggestions coming. It's okay. If you want to stay in touch with either Carla or myself, Carla, where can they find you?
Y'all can find me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic. You can catch me right before the GH Report over at Black Hollywood Live, where I do The Curvy Critic with Carla Renata. I'm trying to work it out where I can live stream from my house. I haven't quite mastered that yet, but as soon as I do, I will do that. And while they're doing those reruns on Superstore on NBC, you can catch me there every once in a while, too.
Nice. Folks, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie. I don't have nearly anything as cool as Carlos got going. So, you know, if you follow me, you know, well, I'll try to think of something. I'll put up status updates on this terrible thing that's growing on my face.
And listen, you guys, stay safe. Whatever country, city, state that you're in, please stay safe. Please continue to self-quarantine. Please wash your hands. Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. And we will all get through this as a human race together.
Well said, Carla. Well said. Until next time, folks, we'll see you next Sunday night here for an all-new episode of the GH Report right here on AfterBuzz TV.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.